If you're just joining us, it's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We will be talking about communities that consolidate municipal services and when that makes sense. Do you work for a local or county government? What challenges are you up against in providing public services? Does your municipality share services with a neighboring community? And how is it going? Bring your challenges, your insights right now. We're at 800-642-1234. But first, coronavirus. Congress approved an $8.3 billion emergency aid package headed to the president's desk. So far, 14 deaths have been linked to the virus in the U.S., with more than 200 confirmed cases nationwide. Researchers around the world are racing to learn more about how it works, and these efforts include right here at UW-Madison, which has two teams studying the pathogens that cause COVID-19. Our colleagues at Wisconsin have reported on how a UW researcher got a hold of a coronavirus sample. Will Cushman is the associate editor of Wisconsin, and he spoke with WPR host Keely Baltina earlier this week.
We've got two big words at play here that might be unfamiliar to people. They were to me. We've got COVID-19, which is a respiratory disease. And then there's SARS-CoV-2, which is actually the pathogen itself that causes the disease. Break that down for us.
Exactly. So SARS-CoV-2 is the name of the actual virus that causes this disease, the virus that emerged in central China the end of last year of 2019. And it causes a disease known as COVID-19, 19 being a reference to 2019.
Okay, so which of the two is UW-Madison then focusing research on?
The researchers at UW-Madison are focusing on the virus itself, so on SARS-CoV-2. Ultimately, they're interested in the disease, but to understand the disease, the researchers have to understand the virus that causes it.
And we have two research efforts then around this particular pathogen at UW-Madison. So what's happening with what Thomas Friedrich and Dave O'Connor are doing?
Those two researchers are collaborating with colleagues at other institutions as well. So they haven't taken receipt of a sample of the virus here in Madison. They're hoping that some of their colleagues at other institutions will be able to. They're going to be researching, hopefully, a whole bunch of things. But they're particularly interested in is how a virus like SARS-CoV-2, which is believed to have originated in an animal species, how a virus like that makes the jump to humans, because there are a plethora of viruses that affect animal species that don't affect humans. And every once in a while, something like SARS-CoV-2 comes around that starts infecting humans and then becomes widely transmissible between humans. And they just want to understand why that is.
Okay, so there's that transition that is one focus of the research. And then there's research from Yoshihiro Kawaoka. Tell us who he is, what he's worked on in the past, where we're going now.
Yeah, Kawaoka is a really pretty prominent researcher at UW-Madison. He's well known for his studies on influenza, really dangerous subtypes of influenza.
Right, a little bit controversial.
Yeah, sometimes they have been, yep. There are some other prominent virologists and scientists who have taken issue with some of his experiments in the past. He's also focused some work on Ebola as well. But he has actually has a sample of the virus that he was able to get from the patient in Dane County, the one confirmed case here in Wisconsin, via UW hospitals where that patient was diagnosed. And he's interested in also a whole bunch of things, but particularly he wants to identify a good animal model for this virus. So he wants to identify a lab animal that exhibits similar symptoms to once infected with this virus as a human would. So that allows for experiments that you could look at a whole bunch of things and kind of use these animal models as a proxy for understanding the infection in humans.
And we should say that the patient with COVID-19 in Wisconsin has recovered, was released from the hospital last week. But on getting the sample, is that way of retrieving the sample and getting it to the lab anyway unusual, or is this how business is done?
It's not necessarily super unusual, but it does involve a whole bunch of hoops to jump through. Regulatory and ethical standards need to be upheld. And it is unusual in the case of SARS-CoV-2 right now, the way that Kawoka was able to get the virus directly from UW hospitals. Most researchers in the nation right now who are studying the virus or hope to study the virus are they have to get a sample of the virus from a contractor for NIH based in Virginia.
And it sounds like those samples are not widely available right now.
No. Based on the website of this contractor, it sounds like labs that want a specimen of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, they're telling them to expect maybe to be able to get two specimens per year per lab at this point, and they're not providing a timeline for when the virus would be widely available or shipped to individual labs.
Right. The phrase "we cannot guarantee" shows up there.
Exactly.
Will Cushman is the associate editor of WisContext, and we are talking about research into a novel coronavirus that's happening here at UW-Madison. And Will, this is a dangerous pathogen. We've seen how fast it's spreading and people have died. How do we know that the research happening here in Wisconsin is safe?
That's a really good question. And that was kind of like the meat of that was the main question I wanted to answer in my reporting as well. I feel assured after talking to a whole bunch of people involved that this research is being conducted really safely. It started out with Dr. Kawoka needed to provide a protocol. He needed to tell UW Hospital what research he intended to do and vouch for the safety practices and the biocontainment, biosafety practices in his lab. He had to assure the hospital that the confidentiality of the patient who was infected with the virus would remain confidential. He had to jump through a whole bunch of hoops in order to even get approval to get a sample of this virus. That approval had to come from the institutional review boards on campus, which make sure that research that involves medical research that involves human subjects, not only medical research, but in this case, medical research, adheres to national and state regulations and high ethical standards. And then on top of that, there's a whole bunch of shipping regulations. Sometimes people who ship these dangerous pathogens have to be trained and certified. There's regulations from the DOT. Sometimes you have to get special permits to ship viruses such as SARS-CoV-2, even between labs on an individual campus, which was the case here.
It sounds like it is a lot of work, and maybe even some people would call it red tape. But with such a dangerous organism that we're dealing with, it's really important that this is followed, because otherwise people could get sick.
Yeah, exactly. So the SARS-CoV-2 virus, while it causes mild to moderate symptoms in most people, is really dangerous for a small minority of people and is fatal in some instances. So in cases like that, researchers obviously feel the need to be extra cautious with it, as do the people who house those specimens, hospitals, et cetera.
Right. These medical professionals, these researchers understand the responsibility they have.
Precisely.
And what other takeaways should we bring with us from the reporting that you've done about how UW-Madison is now connected to this global almost pandemic as we're sitting with the WHO here?
I think it's the fact that there was a patient with a confirmed diagnosis in Wisconsin so early on in this outbreak was like a minor moment of like scientific serendipity for these local researchers who suddenly had another place to gain access to this virus and didn't necessarily have to go through the NIH contractor. So it provided when in a case like this, when the race to understand everything we can about this emerging virus is like really urgent, it's really quite fascinating, and I think Wisconsinites should be assured that like the research that's happening here is of a global importance.
And with the global importance and really on the cutting edge of this, do we have any idea when we might start to see some of the findings of the research?
We don't. Yeah, I would assume as soon as possible. But that said, the scientific process, when it's done correctly, takes time. We've already seen Reuters actually did a big look at all of the scientific studies that have come out so far related to the virus. A whole lot of them have not been peer reviewed, and a whole lot of those have had pretty major problems. So science that is conducted correctly takes time and requires that peer review process.
All right. We'll pay attention and check in again. Will, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was Will Cushman, associate editor at Wiscontext. And he spoke with WPR host Keely Baltina about UW-Madison research on the novel coronavirus. By the way, you can find the story and additional reporting on COVID-19 from our partners at wiscontext.org. Coming up, budgets are tight, and when you and a neighboring municipality need more of the same services like fire, police, snow removal, do you consolidate services or do you go it alone? Wisconsin Policy Forum ran the numbers. Does your municipality share services with a neighboring community? How is it going? Phone lines are open, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's talk about public services and what consolidation could look like in your community. That's after this news update on the Ideas Network.